Hey guys, your favorite blockhead has some very exciting news. I want to let you guys know that your favorite blockhead is now a proud member of the Yogi's Podcast Network. YFB is proud to bring you more content from my friends Mike and Toria over at The Nightly Rant. So you can follow their shows on the Yogi's Podcast Network, which will include Peeling the Orange, which will deal with all the issues in Orange County, The Nightly Rant, Liberty Revealed, and even one of my favorites, the Elite Podcast Academy, where you can learn everything you want to know about being a professional podcaster, be able to reach more people and give your influence, even work on monetization and on podcast notes, you name it. This course will walk you through how to be a better podcaster. And your favorite blockhead is always very blessed to mention his membership with the Dose Leprechauns Podcast Network. You can find those links on the show, and you can always find Dose Leprechauns on iTunes and on YouTube. That being said, what do you say we go ahead and start the show, shall we? Broadcasting live. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for stopping by once again. You are listening to your favorite blockhead, the only podcast in the podcasting world that can somehow incorporate the Peanuts comic strip 1 minute and then be talking about MMA and Warriors Inside the Octagon the next. Guys, we finally have guest number 6. He is joining me live through squadcast.fm. I'm super excited to have him. Those that have followed me since the inception, I've had 5 guests so far. Erskine Edavitarte was the last one. Brother Sin's been on a few times. Now I finally got my friend Big Russ who has come in. I've been getting a lot of hype about him coming on. But before we start, guys, those of you that are considering podcasting, those who want to do remote interviews, let me just say this now. Say no to Skype, say no to Google Hangouts, and say yes to squadcast.fm. That's how me and Big Russ are doing our thing right now. Squadcast.fm is the perfect podcast interview program for remote podcasters that will take care of all your needs. All you got to do is hit record, have your interview at a certain time, you put it together on a small program on your laptop, and it is done. It is worth the $20 a month for the subscription. I promise you. Never had any issues with this. Always was struggling with Skype with all my other interviews. Have not had an issue with squadcast.fm since. If you go to my link that I have today for squadcast.fm, you will see the link where you can support this show as an affiliate of squadcast.fm. But if you're not interested in that, if you want to consider helping your favorite blockhead in another way, there are 2 other ways you can support the show. Go to my website for ko-fi.com where you can give up just a cup of coffee once a day to be able to support the dream of the blockhead. You can go to www.ko-fi.com/your-favorite-blockhead and you will see the page. It's going to be right on the blog page. If you think, man, I don't know if I want to do a one-time donation, maybe I'll do a monthly subscription. $1 a month on Patreon is also accepted as well and is super appreciated by the blockhead. So if you go to my other website, www.patreon.com/your-favorite-blockhead, you can give on any one of those donation sites for yours truly to help us continue with the dream, to have more interviews, to have more times for Dallas on Air. Super appreciate you guys helping us out with that. And if you're considering one other way, maybe you want to buy something. Maybe you're like, you know, Blockhead, I need something tangible to hold. You know, I'm going to talk about Koa Coffee. Harvested only when the beans are cherry red, and as Forbes has called it, it's the best Kona coffee in America. Grown in a tropical Hawaiian environment to give you the perfect roast for Kona coffee. Personally, your blockhead recommends the medium roast and also the dark Grande Vienna. Those are going to be provided in the link as well. Go check out koacoffee.com. That is all going to be provided in the show. Now that we got the plugs out of the way, this guy that I have on, guest number 6, Blockhead is not sure what to expect with him. We don't know if we're going to hear his opinions about Globe Life Park closing up in Arlington and a new stadium opening. We're going to have some hot takes on this one. We don't know if he's going to talk about America's dream team known as the Dallas Cowboys. We don't know what direction he's going to go for MMA. He's going to give his thoughts. He's also going to give his thoughts about being a new hubby, or he might just do a little dance, because Big Russ is joining us on the Your Favorite Blockhead Hour. Welcome to the show, Big Russ, Russell Brown. Russell, what's going on, man?
Man, not a lot. Enjoying this almost 100-degree weather we got going on down here in Mansfield.
Tell me about it, man. This is ridiculous. Does that give me a segue? Before we get to, I really want to get into your opinions about Globe Life Park and about the Texas Rangers. This is going to be fun. Before I do, for those who don't understand the reference I just made, we're going to go down that road. Have the Texas Rangers sent you a royalty check for your appearance on that commercial yet? Or are we still sitting on a note?
No, I haven't got my royalties yet. I keep expecting that check in the mail with that Rangers logo on there, and I haven't seen anything.
You would think, exactly. For the listeners that don't know, there is a segment where my buddy Russ here is actually busting a move and giving us a great dance that all of Arlington and Dallas, Texas has seen at some point on the tube. So I want to ask about how did that come to be? Was that by total accident? Was that a special event you remember going to?
Actually, I think it was just total accident. I was that actual clip because it came, the commercial was last year. Right. And that was actually from a game that was like 3 years ago. And I was at the game and I was going to get a drink or something, and they started playing a song. So I did a little dance up there and they put me on the big screen. And people were texting me the whole game. Oh, I just saw you on the big screen. And what was funny is that entire season, I would get text messages of people saying, are you at the game? I just saw you dancing on the Jumbotron. And I'm like, no, I'm not at the game. What? And so they would reuse that, I guess.
Right. They had you on repeat at that point.
Like, I guess it was entertaining enough.
Yeah. There was enough flair in that bad boy for it to go on for a while. I love it. So that's how that came to be, Blockhead Nation, in case there's some guys that listen to this in New York and Orlando, Florida, and down in San Diego and Ohio that wouldn't have a clue what you're talking about. But those who are diehard Rangers fans are familiar with that clip. And I'm just sitting here going, okay, Rangers.com, what are you waiting for? The guy has done you a favor. He's brought people and filled in the seats. We're waiting on our royalties. And if Blockhead can help that happen, maybe iTunes and Spotify will get that done for you. We'll see what happens in due time. So, man, now that we are on Texas Rangers, I want you to let it rip. What can we expect with the closing of the doors and the opening of new doors for the current stadium? What do you want to vent about? Just let it rip. Let's hear it, man.
Man, I really don't – I guess – my whole thing is I'm old school. I like old school baseball. I mean, I grew up playing baseball, you know, grew up playing baseball outside. And I guess my thing is you get people who they want to talk about how, oh, it's so hot and it's, you know, it's humid and there's no wind. Well, it is Texas and I've lived here my entire life and the heat hasn't changed. It's always been the same.
No, it's going to be bipolar often too. Yeah, so.
Right, right. If you're expecting it to be, you know, 70 degrees when you walk into the ballpark, that's not going to happen. And I guess I'm a baseball purist in that too, is where I love being outside for baseball. You don't see the Yankees putting a roof over their stadium, or the Red Sox aren't building an indoor stadium. And I know that the Rangers don't have the, you know, the accolades that the Red Sox and the Yankees do, but hey, true. I mean, I want my team to be as down to home and sticking to the roots as any other team.
I don't see how that's so hard to grasp. I really don't. I'm going indoor baseball. I mean, seriously, you want indoor baseball? It's this thing called the YMCA. Take your kids over there for a while if you want to do that. But nonetheless, I'm just sitting here going, I don't understand it. I mean, Globe Life Park is such a landmark for Arlington. You know, it's as Dallas having the subsections, Arlington is the, you know, one of the heartbeats of Dallas. And I go, don't you expect there's going to be some lashback about this? There's going to be some protest, some boycott. I go, how is that going to, again, whose vision is this? And I'm going, do you have a background in baseball? It makes me wonder.
You know, and the thing with the city of Arlington, they've pumped all these revenues into Texas Live. Well, actually, the city of Arlington hasn't, but the taxpayers of Arlington will. But with Texas Live over there, and I understand that, you know, it's going to give them an opportunity with a new stadium to eventually maybe even a year or two down the road to, you know, host an All-Star game, which is coming up in a couple weekends. I think next
That's
week.
That's true.
Or next week, yeah. Exactly. Right. And that gives them the opportunity to do that. And I get that. And they're not tearing down Globe Life Park, which is kind of
No,
weird.
They're not, true.
They're going to use it for XFL, I think, and concerts, stuff like that. So, I mean, it's not like we're losing that. It's not like we're losing
XFL. That. It's been a minute since I've heard that terminology, man. So I don't want to take you off that. That's another key point we're going to hit about is the XFL. But now, I'm sorry, continue about Arlington, man. That's true about Texas Live. That's one little moving part that I missed.
And it's going to be a draw. I mean, it really is. And I hope – I mean, by any means, I'll complain about it when they open it. But will I go, oh, heck yeah, I'm a baseball fan. I'll be there. If God willing, I'll be there, you know, opening day of 2020, you know. But it's just going to be like – that was the first baseball stadium that I went to growing up. And it's one of those nostalgic things where you're just like, I hate to see it go.
Sure. Yes. Nostalgia is a real thing, man. That does make sense. So you've stated your points quite often about why this is not the greatest idea. You understand it, but at the same time, like you said, you're a baseball purist. This is part of nostalgia. And a lot of times that's where the backlash comes is from guys like you and I are those who have so many memories of Nolan Ryan's run versus the times that we had A-Rod and to the days that we had Cliff Lee pitching for us. So it's, if you mix all that into the John Hamilton scenario. So if you take all those that we have all lived through, the good and the bad, and then we just hear this from the top up, and we just go, I wish you could explain this to me in a way that makes more sense than just a vision from the top up, and this is the way it's going to be, and taxpayers are going to eat it.
It's one of those things that you know, sometimes you just got to bite the bullet and say, okay, because in the long run, it's going to bring more fans. I mean,
sure.
You know, I don't have little ones yet, but I know it's hard for people to take their kids to a Sunday baseball game when it's 95 degrees out there. And I understand that. I really do. I've gone to games when it's 100 degrees out there. Is it fun? For me, no. But is it baseball? Yes. And I understand that fact. So
there you go. At its simplest form, it's baseball. I mean, yep. They did it through the Depression. They did it through the war efforts. They've done it all through the Vietnam era on into the time we have now, to the patriotism that came out of 9/11. I mean, to the time that we heard about Bin Laden's capturing was at a baseball game. You know, and so it's hard for us that hold that in a way. We hold it sacred. We don't want to idolize it too much because, you know, that's dangerous territory for somebody who has a faith walk. But if there is a sacredness to America's sport that is baseball. So I wanted to get that from you because sometimes you get fired up about this on social media and it's fun to watch. But man, now that you said the words XFL, oh my goodness, another missing element that I could have mentioned a long time ago. Take it away on the XFL. What do you think is going to happen if that's the case? Let's just hypothetically speaking. If XFL comes to Globe Life Park, then what are we going to see for the rest of the world? What are we going to see about this on television? What are we going to see in the streaming world? What do you predict with that?
Man, I don't know much. The key things that I know now are Bob Stoops has agreed to be the coach for the Dallas area.
Okay.
Which is a draw, and that's where they say that they're going to play is Globe Life Park. But you know, in everything that I've seen, Vince McMahon, and his billions of dollars that he's, you know, funneled into the WWE,
sure,
is basically just giving the reins to other people who know football. And he has adamantly said that it is going to be something completely different than what it was before.
Like his original plan that he had that fell through terribly. Maybe not, now it's like, you're going to revamp that dream, what, 20 years later? And I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
And he wants to basically, he wants to make it where it's more legitimate. I mean, before there was gimmicks and stuff like that in it. One of the ESPN's best 30 for 30s was when they talked about the XFL and how they made up rules on the way to their very first XFL game on the plane. And it's like,
yeah.
And that was one thing that Vince has said in interviews and stuff is, we're not going to do you know, day of rules. We're going to make sure that when we go to kick this off in 2020, it is going to be legit. There's going to be things set in stone. It's going to be, you know, by the book, 1, 2, 3 here. This is how it's going to happen.
Yeah. And at that time when the XFL verse came out, I still want to say deep down that the water boy was still fresh on a lot of people's minds. So I'm sure when he's kicking it off, I can almost hear a QB somewhere on the side when he's calling water boy, H2O. And they're running twins to the side. And we have this little drop kick that would happen on national television. I'm sure they had a lot of people up in arms about it, but still, I never thought it was a terrible idea. I just thought it was kind of like it seemed like a bucket list item for Vince McMahon in my mind. And I guess if he wants to do it right, then he can focus on that come if he's going to retire, if he's going to hand the keys to the kingdom off to the siblings and to Paul Levesque. I think you know what I mean. As in other words, Triple H, whoever he's handing it off to. And I guess he could focus on that full time and do it right this time. It still seems like a bucket list item for him, but if it's legitimate, then we'll see what the ratings do. I mean, it's all about the ratings too. It's all about the cash grab.
Oh, absolutely. Vince McMahon is not one to shy away from wanting the ratings and the money.
Exactly. And I mentioned all that. Now that we've gone to XFL and we've mentioned Vince McMahon, I have to go in this direction too. Is there a time, because the guys I talked to on this show, I've been looking at the demographics. They're 25 to 35 year old males. Not one of us that I know that has been listening to the show has shied away from wrestling at a certain time in their life. So I want to know, what eras did you watch? Did you watch the eras prior to the Montreal Screwjob? Did you watch the Attitude Era? Did you follow the John Cena era? Or are you currently following now and seeing what most people say is such a garbage product it is? I mean, what has been your story about following WWE or even WCW of the sort?
I started when it was WWF, and it was probably the mid '90s.
Okay,
right about the time the Attitude Era starts.
Yeah, sure. That sounds about right. That's about the time that he comes out with that promo about how we're not gonna do the say your prayers, take your vitamins anymore. We're gonna go into this gray area, and then thus we have the story with Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels, and then long after that. You know, Stone Cold is on everybody's lips. Everybody's wearing the 316 shirts to school and everything. And we're all hearing the small little gimmicks at school. Everybody's saying, "You smell what The Rock is cooking." We hear it through the hallways. So I was just wondering which era that was, and how often were you watching, and who were some of your guys? You know, let it rip on this one.
Man, I tried to watch as much as I possibly could growing up. I didn't have cable, but I had a neighbor that did. So I would go over to his house on Mondays, and we'd watch we'd flip between WCW, Nitro, and then back over to Raw.
Yeah, Monday Night Wars.
During commercial breaks, flipping back and forth, trying to follow both shows. I was a big Stone Cold fan. Still to this day, you know, The Undertaker, obviously, just one of those guys who just either A, just doesn't want to hang it up, or B, just Vince McMahon just keeps giving him money to keep coming back because he's back now. So
it's like he's like the Brett Favre of the WWE. One more year. I mean, I don't put him in the same category. I'm not trying to compare apples to oranges here. It's just, yeah. I mean, Mark Calloway has gone through every phase of that character. And then in between there, that was a big time when people were flipping between the channels. So you followed The Undertaker, you followed Stone Cold, and he's got a very successful podcast now. It just seems to me like people who are celebrity status have kind of an ace in the hole if they jump into podcasting. And he's been able to be at the top of the charts for a while. He's not quite Joe Rogan. He's not been up there near as long. Joe Rogan's been doing this for no telling how long. Thousands and thousands of episodes. So anyway, that's just interesting that you followed both worlds. Any other characters or storylines you really liked? Or
nowadays, you know, the guys, I shied away from it for probably 3 or 4 years, and jumped back in about two years ago, maybe three. And it's good. I mean, it has gone to the so-called PG era, which is, I mean, hey, you know, every time that I've gone to the AAC where Raw is, it is definitely filled with people from top to bottom, and the age ranges from anywhere from probably I mean, I'm going to say anywhere from probably 6 to, I mean, maybe 50, you know. I mean, just it's entertainment, and that's why they changed it from Federation to WWE, which is entertainment. I mean, and that's
yeah,
what it
they
is.
Lost, they lost to the Panda Bear. They lost to the Panda People, the World Wildlife Federation. Too funny. But, yeah, and that's another thing. It's like, you're right. There's something about that is very much I heard this in a podcast. I don't mean to cut you off, but Ted DiBiase talked about this, about how so much of it is disbelief. He said during the Depression era, people were paying to go to wrestling matches when they couldn't afford to keep their lights on because they wanted to kind of separate themselves from their reality to go vent their frustrations at ringside. And of course, nowadays that tells me that idea has carried on no matter what. Even if you're going there just to be one of the hecklers in the crowd, which is a big deal that will take over, that will, you know, do a full overtake of the audience. And sometimes they just go just because, hey, I still like the idea of good guy versus bad guy. And too often, a guy who never changed colors, that probably they missed the boat so many times, was John Cena. I understand he's a face. I understand he's got a look. I understand that he sells merchandise. You got little Timmy that wants to go watch him. But it's one of those, when you could have time, have the boom and busts of John Cena, they missed the boat so many times because they have to keep him as the baby face. I'm like, What are y'all waiting on? Get somebody else up there, even if it's controversial. Controversy sells. You'd think they would know that by now, but I find that interesting that you follow it to this day. Any other storylines or anything that stands out you really want to talk about? Or
no, I mean it's entertainment. I try not to put too much into it. I normally now, since the ratings have started to dip so low, the product that they've been putting out has gotten a little. It's gotten a little boring. It's gotten a little repetitive. So they have a guy in there now, Braun Strowman, who is just the largest man that can do things that I've never seen anybody his size do in a wrestling ring. And he's very entertaining to watch just because of his
size.
Right.
Somebody with a short term memory, I'm sure Braun fits into that category. It's like, I remember a guy named Andre the Giant that could probably do a lot more than you can, but that's not to criticize anybody. It's just there's something about short-term memory of a product versus long-term memory, and I guess that's my double-edged sword. Is I can still look back and go, that looks really familiar. That looks like it looks like a soap opera on repeat at this point. And that's, they're not an exception to the law of diminishing marginal utility, which is too much of a good thing is not a good thing. You know, even though they're providing all of their different flavors of ice cream, you like vanilla, you get vanilla, chocolate, you like that. They do that, but it's still one of those, man, you got to start getting creative with these storylines. But anyhow, I didn't mean to cut you off on that. It's just you're solidifying a lot of what because I don't watch it anymore. I just kind of catch from afar. And it's not, don't want to be too overly critical, because you can choose any entertainment you want. You have showed interest a couple of times on Facebook that you want to go into doing some type of commentary. There was some type of event that you were talking about maybe going to and maybe being behind doing some type of commentary. Could you talk a little bit about that? Or
yeah, I think you're the 105.3 The Fan here in Dallas had a contest being a weekend commentator for having, I think you were going to be part of a talk show. I don't think you were going to have your own, but you were going to be teamed up with somebody. And I never actually went through with it. I should have. They had a contest here in Mansfield at the Fat Daddy's here, and I never actually got over there and went through with it. Do I regret it? A little bit, yeah. But I went back and I went kind of read back some of the rules and stuff like that. I'm like, man, it was going to be a lot of a commitment to try to keep a full-time job and do that as well.
There's some confinements with that. That podcasting would allow you the ability to have more flexibility if that came. I was just like, I know I've said this before on my show that people don't watch sports on mute. Why? Because the commentary matters, because you want to hear the words that are being displayed. Nobody watches a NASCAR race on mute either. We want to be able to hear the commentary from the pit. You want to hear the fan reaction. You want to hear what the commentaries have to say. It's part of the entertainment that makes it whole as a sport for us as Americans.
Yeah, that
was a dream of yours. Then, of course, Blockhead has your support all the way. But I wondered about the rules and the confinements and the regulations you'd have to follow if you did that.
Yeah, it was going to be a part-time job, and you had to have a minimum of, I think it was 30 hours a week. It was mostly Saturdays and Sundays, which, hey, that's not conflicting at all with a full-time schedule. There was a lot of other little things in there, in and outs, and I was like, yeah, I just don't know if I can be able to commit to all that, especially having to live in Mansfield and drive to the other side of Dallas up by 75, so.
Right, a lot more guidelines than maybe were expected. But again, you know, you have more flexibility. That's a hint, hint, wink, wink from the podcasting world that this might be a format for you. And now, and I've told you before, I'll send you the spark notes of anything you want to know about podcasting, because that's the good thing about this format. This is an area where we don't have the limitations. I guess in due time it could. Even a guy that I've talked to that's in radio, he's like, look, podcasting, you have the freedom. For radio, this is what you're going to be covering. This is what we expect you to talk about. So in a way, this is a good forum for anybody that wants to do that. It's just, you're going to have a lot of competition too. You're going to have a lot of people that are like, why should I listen to your commentary versus somebody like Ariel and the Bad Guy on ESPN amongst something like that. So just for example, and of course, Pardon the Interruption or any of these other guys, I think Adam Carolla would be another one that just in those worlds, that's a lot of people you got to compete with. To do that, but you'd have the freedom and you'd have your input from your family members. So just something for Big Russ to think about. I'm trying to plant the seed here.
Watch it grow.
Indeed. And we'll have to do the pruning process and everything. Speaking of watching it grow, guys, there is a product out there that is growing in popularity known as Grinds Coffee Pouches. Going to put that link up in the blog page for as well. I'm telling you, if the guys on the Sandlot had actually succumbed to using Grinds Coffee Pouches instead of Big Chief, but nonetheless, this is a fairly new product that was established on Shark Tank. You see it on ESPN Magazine. It's in the back pockets of the San Francisco Giants and will continue throughout the rest of the world because this is a great idea. It looks like a skull pouch, but it's not. It's a small little coffee pouch you put in your mouth and you're able to get a taste of coffee and a boost of energy. Yeah, it gives you tons of energy, only the kind that you won't regurgitate later. So be sure and check out my link for Grinds Coffee Pouches. This is a healthy alternative to tobacco use, which we know chewing tobacco is up to at least a third $93 billion industry all by itself. The healthy alternative would be to check out getgrinds.com. You'll see that link in the podcast. You go and use that, and you sign up for the newsletter and the email to get 20% off of your first purchase from Grinds Coffee Pouches. That will be provided for you for the show today. Be sure and check that out, guys. So now as we bring it back full circle, the big moment I've been waiting for. Now we talk about what's going on in the UFC, man. You're going to check out the fight tonight. Am I understanding that right? UFC 239?
Oh, yeah. I got a buddy of mine who's I've already been texting him this morning. Pretty excited about this one. This is going to be a pretty dang good fight card.
All right, so I guess what we can do is we can work our way through the card a little bit. For the prelims, there's some little-known names that are in there. I know Claudia Delgado is going to have a fight as well in the prelims, but as we get into it, right as we get to the very first main card, we have Diego Sanchez and Mike Chiesa. So, man, I've got to ask you this question. How long have you followed Diego Sanchez, and what was your opinion about that interview he had with Ariel Helwani? Did you check that out by chance?
I didn't catch that one, but Diego is a special character.
He really is. That's the thing about it. I love the nightmare. I love Diego. But as soon as he was done with the first – this is before the weigh-in. This is when they were having the first press conference in the stare-down where he and Mike Chiesa look at each other for the first time for the pictures. Now, after that's done, Ariel Helwani talks with him on the side, and dude – for 17 minutes, Diego Sanchez is just going off about, I'm not the old guy, I'm the Jedi. They want to overlook me. And he just goes into this whole, it is a straight up cheese fest, man. I'm sitting there going, he blew up the internet. I'm going, if that's the best we can get out of trash talk, if that's the best we can get out of Diego Sanchez, buddy, we are in big trouble when it comes to the trash talk and marketing. So I just wonder, you know, any thoughts on Diego Sanchez, any thoughts on trash talk, anything of that sort? We'll start there and we'll get into Mike Chiesa and Diego a little bit.
Diego, man, he's an interesting character. I did catch the stare down at the end of the interviews, and that one was pretty entertaining because he didn't take his eyes off of Michael Chiesa. And I had to laugh because he stared at him the entire time. And then Michael Chiesa just turns, takes his picture, and then he turns and looks at, you know, Diego Sanchez, and he's still staring at him with his wide eyes and his.
He did.
And I was like, man, Diego's intense.
It's like
right
rabid
now.
Wolverine, like staring right through him, of like he's trying to melt him like butter with his eyes while Chiesa's just kind of beating his chest. You're right. So I guess that kind of gives a little preface into the interview I'm talking about. So take a chance to go back and look at that, dude. It is 17 minutes of a whole lot of nonsense. I'm sitting there going, if that's the best we can do, I really do worry about our MMA fans. It's almost like we got some lackluster that's coming out if that's the best he can do. It's just, you know, that's just one person's opinion. What about Mike Chiesa? What do you think about this cat?
I'll be honest with you. I've only seen like two of his fights, but the two fights that I've seen of him were definitely entertaining fights. The last one that I saw him in, who was that?
I know it wasn't Kevin Lee. That was the one that got the big scuffle between him and Kevin Lee. It was about, don't you talk about my mother. But there was another one.
The one with Carlos Condit is the one that I'm thinking of.
There you go. Carlos Condit. Absolutely.
And when he submitted Carlos Condit in the second round, and that was a good fight. But that was back in 2018. And so he really hasn't had much. Now that I look back, it is he fought Anthony Pettis, but yeah, he's a guy in the welterweight division that he's been impressive, but I want to see more from him. I think he can be a main event guy if he wants to. This fight with Diego just won his last fight against Mickey Gall. And, you know, Chess is coming in there with – he's got a point to prove. And I think Diego has a point to prove too, being the veteran that he is.
Yeah, this is going to be one heck of an opener for tonight. Whenever everybody sits there and goes, oh, we're waiting for John Jones, it's going to be like, no, y'all have got to be watching Diego and Chiesa. You got to see this. There's a story going on both sides that's great. Even though I wanted to criticize Diego a little bit, that buildup between – what Mike Chiesa has to prove and what I think Diego's at that point where his contract is coming up and he's going to have to either kill or be killed, like he does mention. But again, it was so scatterbrained the way that he did his interview. That's the only reason I say that. It's 17 minutes that you're going to have to sit down and commit to watch Diego go into all this. And all I'm saying is Mike Chiesa first got on the board when Kevin Lee pushed his buttons and he said, don't you talk about my mother. And they have that little scuffle and Kevin Lee submits him. But then Kevin Lee doesn't go on to do so well himself. At least, you know, there's some showmanship from Mike Chiesa and from Kevin Lee, and their showmanship with Diego Sanchez. It's just one of those, it left me scratching my head. I felt like it was an Ultimate Warrior moment of, what the heck did he just say? it sounded all right, but I can't make hide nor hair of it. But that was the big thing about that one. So, yes, I agree with you. Mike Chiesa has a lot to prove. Diego has that hungry look in his eye. It's going to be an awesome opener for this. So next, if I'm not mistaken, what's going to be next on the list? It's not Amanda Nunes. It's not Jorge. It's Luke Rockhold.
Luke Rockhold. And yeah. Jan, I think is how you say his name.
Yeah, I think that's right. Jan.
Blonit, I can't ever say these.
Yeah, that's all right. Yeah, but we'll call him Jean, which is true. We're familiar with him. Yeah.
I'm not a fan of Rockhold. I never have been. He's always been a little too cocky for me.
That's how he lost his title to Bisping. He got cocky and dropped his hands. I mean, seriously. So.
And he's not even coming off of a. He's not even coming off of a win. He lost to Yoel Romero.
Yeah.
A while back. So. I've never seen this Jan Blachowicz. I don't know.
but either way, you know that's what's great about MMA. We can have a surprise come in out of nowhere, and you know, could we see who is this Jan guy? Just like we didn't know who Jack Hermanson was for a while either. So I mean that could be an issue as well.
And there's so many fighters nowadays. It's unbelievable of how many fights they're pumping out with this ESPN thing, of how many different, you know, fight nights, and, you know, they're adding. I mean, it's almost like there's one weekly.
Mm-hmm. Almost. I mean, it feels, if it's not that one, then you get one from Bellator. If you are wanting to watch something else, ONE Championship might put on something for Demetrius Johnson, or, you know, we've got, and then we go backwards. Those that are boxing fans, you know, Triple G and Canelo comes out of nowhere that we're not ready for, or there's other, either way, you've got your fight fans have got it well-rounded nowadays for that. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. So we'll see if this Jean guy, can make an impact. This is a time where he can do it. You know, a lot of people are watching this fight with John Jones in the main card. So he has something that he can prove. And I guess Luke Rockhold has some rebuilding. He has some reconstruction for his namesake. Okay, now we get to a fun one. Jorge Masvidal and Ben Askren.
That is going to be entertaining, man. There has been some war of words between those two guys for the last, I don't know how long it's been going. It feels like it's been going on for months.
It does.
And I am a fan of Ben Askren. I'm a legit fan. But I like Jorge Masvidal's fighting style too. So that one's going to be a good one to watch. That's to me that has fight of the night potential right there.
It does. Because that's the thing. Masvidal is dangerous. Ben Askren, like we say with the name Funky, this is a guy that out of nowhere, even though he's being pummeled by Robbie Lawler, still pulls off a victory.
That was a good fight too.
It was, it was fantastic. So it's just Jorge seems like a guy who, even though he might be Ben might be getting under his skin a little bit, because Ben's charming. Ben is a very entertaining guy. He does know what buttons to push. He's following the Chael Sonnen model in some ways, but that last stare down, Jorge is also just being selective with his words because he's kind of taking on the chill out bro kind of mode. He's just not really he's not engaging him a whole lot, but that one comment that he made as they walked away at that one stare down, he's like, "Why are you angry, bro?" And then he keeps on going at it when Jorge goes, "That was funny, Ben. I'm sure you thought that up all by yourself." I'm just like, "Oh, win for Jorge right there." But the exchange of words has been fantastic for this one. So what are you predicting? Will this go all the way to the cards? Do you think that this could be a surprise?
If it goes to the ground, Askren's got him. There was rumors a while back that Askren and Jorge were in the gym and they were wrestling, and Askren just got the best of him the entire time. And I think if it gets to the ground, Askren's going to get him. His wrestling is just too good to control. If it stays standing, I can see Masvidal putting up a good, dropping a hammer on him.
I can see Masvidal sticking and moving. Yeah, I can see him sticking and moving and breaking up the points. I mean, but either way, I'm not sure if he's gonna play dangerous or if he's just not necessarily play it safe. But Jorge is not an unintelligent fighter. He's got a pretty good MMA IQ. So this is just going to be good all the way around. Super excited for the results of this one, man. So yeah, you have to be messaging me in between all that. So we'll keep in touch on Jorge and all that. Now we get into the girls. I'm gonna start with, before we get to Amanda Nunes, I'm gonna start with Holly Holm. What do you think about this?
Shock the world! I'm calling it right now. She did it with Rousey. She did it with Rousey. Rousey was on a high. Rousey came in. She was knocking everybody out. She was beating everybody. And Nunes is doing the same thing right now. She's beating everybody they put in front of her. Holly Holm looks really good. I've been a fan of Holm since she knocked out Rousey, just because I never was a Ronda Rousey fan. I didn't really see the hype.
Blonde hair, blue eyes. It's marketing, dude. There's nothing else I can think
I've about. Liked watching Amanda Nunes. She always puts on a good show. Her domination of Cyborg was just unbelievable. But I feel like Holly Holm's going to come in and, you know, maybe she can shock the world again and make everybody go, "What just happened?"
We've got a prediction right here on Blockhead, on your favorite Blockhead. The prediction is Holly Holm is going to shock the world, and I'm with you. And it's not necessarily that I don't want this victory over Amanda Nunes more than I do over Ronda. I did want somebody to take Ronda. I just didn't know that. Again, I fell into that. Did she really just do it? I fell into that. But again, as Rogan was breaking that down, he's saying there are so many holes in Rousey's game, and we found it out quick. So yeah, you're right. I think it's one of those. If Holly Holm can get her at least to maybe the end of the second or third round, then I think that's what it's going to take. If Holly Holm is going to shock the world, she's going to have to get out of the first round first.
Yeah, absolutely. I 100% agree with that. She can't go in there headstrong and think that she's just going to come in there and start to run those wild leg kicks and hope to land one out of nowhere. She can use that kickboxing, though.
Yeah, and that's another thing that's different about Amanda Nunes and Ronda Rousey is that I believe that Amanda Nunes is a lot more coachable. She is one that even though she's got the skills, she knows how to shut up when it's time to sit down and let the coaches do what they're supposed to do. Holly's like that too. It's just kind of one of those, when you have your cornermen, you're letting them do their job. So I just think that that's what it's going to take. It's going to take, you say it's going to be a shock the world. I think the same thing. I just believe it will happen if she gets out of the first round. If she doesn't get out of the first, if Nunes gets it done, I just don't see Holly Holm getting it done first round. I see that the longer that it goes, the more it favors Holly Holm.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited for that one.
So I think so. We're about to get into the top one. We've covered Diego and Chiesa. We've talked a little bit about Rockhold. Neither of us want him to win. We'd like to see this John guy shock the world. It'd be a good platform for him to do it and see what kind of mic skills he's got. Jorge and Ben, it's such a hard call on that one. If it's on the ground, yeah, I see maybe Jorge can pull this off. If he's gonna give a three piece and a soda, it's gonna be doing it on the feet. But Ben can certainly get funky if it goes to the ground. So that's a hard one for us to call. We're calling the shock of the world for Holly Holm. Now we get into Thiago Santos and John Jones, the main event. Let's hear it.
As much as it pains me to do it, I don't see this guy dethroning the champ.
I give him the same benefit of the doubt that I gave Anthony Smith. You might do a decent job, but I don't see you dethroning the best there is. Yeah. And that's all that, you know, man, that's a hard pill for me to swallow, to say that, you know, you watched my podcast. I only have George St. Pierre as number one from my fighters because of the time period he spent away from the sport, that he never had it stripped from him and came back and won in desirable fashion against Bisping and kept the thing going. He's the George Washington of the sport. John Jones does not have clean hands in any way. He's lost all his bouts with USADA, but he has no holes in his MMA game. He just doesn't. And, you know, if Santos isn't the guy to do it, do you think, hypothetically, if he agreed to go up to heavyweight, do you think that Daniel Cormier could do it at heavyweight?
I don't know, man. It's just, that's a hard one. That's a hard one to think about. As much as I really like DC, him and John Jones to me are just overplayed. I think it's a battle of two different styles. I mean, if DC could get him on the ground, yes. Mm-hmm. But John Jones's length and everything, his length, his movement through the octagon, it's impossible for DC to shoot that fast.
Exactly.
I mean, DC may be one of the strongest guys in the heavyweight division, but he's just not going to be quick enough to get John Jones down on the ground.
It pains me to say that too, because once again, what are you really going to prove 2 out of 3? I mean,
yeah.
Cormier will have his chance to hang up his hat and leave on a high note, which is not commonplace for MMA fighters today. I mean, let's take a look at him. Randy Orton, I'm sorry, did I say Randy Orton? My gosh, Randy Couture, Captain America went out on a low note. Vitor Belfort went out on a low note. Chael went out on a low note. You know, if you look at all of these guys that tend to be towards the end, they just don't win they don't leave on a victory. They leave on a defeat more often than not. And so it's just one of those, if Cormier were to do it, he could possibly pull it off at heavyweight, but I'm just not going to hold my breath on that one.
Hey, Cormier's got a task on his hands too. When my boy Stipe gets to get a chance.
Oh man, I can't wait for him and Stipe to go at it again. I'm sorry.
That is
going to be incredible, man. That's a well-deserved rematch that needed to happen yesterday. You know, it is what it is. I understand. It's one of those, you have to get pen to paper. You have to have fighters agree to stuff. And, you know, it can really be a battle of egos. It can be a battle of I don't know if this is the right fight for me. Sometimes that gets annoying to you and I that are sitting here weighing, like, are we going to get a fight or not? You know, are we going to – we'll believe it when we see it. Thomas syndrome of I'll believe when I see it is not good for MMA fans that continue to come back. It's just not.
Yeah, and that was just one that the MMA fan world was waiting on. We couldn't really wait around to see if Brock Lesnar was going to get his money from wrestling or if he was going to get his money from the UFC. Ultimately, the WWE won that battle. But I would have liked to have seen DC and Brock. That would have been a really good fight. But I think Stipe deserves it. I mean, that guy defended that title more than any UFC heavyweight has ever defended that title. And he deserves that rematch more than any fight that the UFC can book from now until eternity. This is a fight that we deserved, he deserved.
Thank you. That's, you know, again, all the times that I've kind of tried not to cut you off just because you get me so excited about MMA, man. We have a pretty good flow between both of us, pretty good chemistry, because I've said the same thing. If there's anybody that deserves this, it's Stipe, period. You know, and even if he hangs up his gloves and goes back into the Chicago Fire Department because he's coming off another defeat, so what? I'll take another defeat of Stipe just to see them fight again. I'll take it, you know, and it's just, man, because so many times heavyweight fights, it's weird. In MMA, heavyweight fights are so lackluster. That's not the one that gets everybody interested because these guys are slow moving. And, you know, when I used to coach wrestling, I watched the same thing. The heavyweight fights were interesting only because everybody was done with their match. They came and supported the big boys as they went at it, but not a whole lot of movements going on with heavyweight matches. Not a lot of movements going on with heavyweight. They're scared to throw. I mean, one, you've seen what's happened with Francis Ngannou. Yeah, man. Ngannou, one blow and it's over. I mean, gosh, there you go. Talk about Ngannou a little bit.
And well, JDS, man, he got caught. I was hoping for more from that fight. I actually watched that fight with the same buddy who I'm watching tonight's fight with. So
nice.
He's a big MMA guy, so it'll be fun to watch it with him. But, man, Ngannou is just – that fight that he had with Stipe – Derek Lewis, I think it was. And Brock came out and cut his promo that was almost WWE-ish. He needed his cardio to improve. And his fight with JDS, he looked leaner. He looked cut. He looked good. So, you know, if – and I'm hoping that it doesn't happen, but if DC beats Stipe, I think it's in August, if that happens – and they want to give Ngannou that shot, that would be a good fight to see. I really think that would be a really good fight between – I think actually Ngannou and Stipe and Ngannou and DC would both, to me, would be really good fights.
Yeah, I would take either one of them. That's how I feel about this. It comes down to I'm not necessarily – I don't want to see DC beat Stipe. I don't want to see Stipe beat DC. I want to see them fight, and I want to see who's going to be facing Ngannou next. I'm sorry, because I'm like, that's just the perfect match right there. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. Now, when I said that, it shows people who watch the fights how quick this sport moves, not just with fighters, but also how quickly it can be over. It can be a short night for MMA. It can be a long night for MMA, depending on how long those fights are drawn out. It's what's different about our sport. Now, when I mentioned this, you mentioned about how quickly that was over with JDS. There's a fight in Bellator that I watched that was Michael Chandler and Patricio Pitbull, who got his redemption, and that was over just like that, lightning speed. So I bring that over just to see – we've talked about UFC. Do you have opinions about Bellator MMA? Do you believe that's almost like a similar Monday Night Wars that's going on, or do you think they have no what do you think that?
Man, to be honest with you, Bellator's coming along pretty good. They've stepped up their game a lot, and – I'll be honest, I think the UFC let something go when they let Ryan Bader go.
Oh, tell me about it.
That guy has come over to Bellator and has just basically just destroyed everything they put in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
And he has made me tune in to more Bellator things that I see on TV.
Yep, exactly. So, I mean, there's plenty of guys who have been the flagship for that, you know, Michael Chandler was a stay around kind of guy for them, but also many good things are coming out. Now we've got, not only has Ryan Bader gone over, Rory McDonald has gone over since his fight with Robbie Lawler, and this guy is now in the finals for the welterweight Grand Prix, showing that he's still one notch above the competition that's going over there. So either way, I'm seeing good competition, but I don't want to say offended, but do you ever get a little bit defensive when some people say about Bellator that it's just a place for UFC wash-ups, or do you, like you said, or you think they're improving? Did they start off that way? What do you think for the vision of Bellator at this point?
I will agree with you on that. I think it started that way. I think it was one of those things that, when it started, they were in, you know, they were fighting in, you know, at the Windstar or, you know, the AAC or smaller places like that, not very. And now they are, I mean, they've gone global. They've got fights this year coming up in, they've had fights this year, in, Ireland, I think. So they've really stepped their game up. And they've made it to where you want to watch. I mean, yeah, they've signed some guys, you know, who, you know, kind of fell away to the wayside in the UFC, who kind of left on low notes. That's going to happen. I mean, you're not going to go through your entire – there's not going to be one MMA guy in his entire career who's going to go undefeated. I mean, look at my boy Anderson Silva. He eventually got dethroned.
Eventually, yeah, by – Chris Weidman. Yep. Mm-hmm. And then after that freak injury, he just hadn't the same sense. But again, that's one of the reasons why, if you watched my show, when I did my rankings, I had to put Anderson Silva at number three. As much as I'm thinking I want to put him number one, I'm moving those around because of John Jones and because of GSP and because of how the title was handled. That's why I mentioned him on Champs. I didn't say, you know, personally, that my favorite of all time. I didn't say that. I just had to be fair with who held actual titles, didn't hold interim ones, what circumstances that came to they're being stripped. But yeah, Anderson Silva, not deny the record of that guy.
No, and that was actually his fight with Chris Lieben, was one of the first fight cards that I remember, because that was, I think it was the same fight card. If not, if I'm totally wrong, I'm totally wrong. But that fight, and then Couture versus Tim Sylvia. When Couture came back, he was and he just knocked out Tim Sylvia. That was actually the first fight that I remember watching on pay-per-view. And then after that, I was hooked. And I went back and watched some of the old stuff, some of the old Ken Shamrock, Dan
Severn. Lion's Den, nice. That's cool. I don't want to just kind of educate you on the spot, but I love that you mentioned Anderson Silva knocking out Chris Lieben, because Chris Lieben was white hot at that time, and he was supposed to, if he won against Anderson, he was supposed to grab the mic and call out Rich Franklin for a title shot. But as we saw, that didn't happen. Anderson Silva comes on, we know that he's for real. The next thing you know, he's defeated Rich Franklin in desirable fashion and held the title for that long reign that he had. So that was interesting. But yeah, I think what got me into it was when Matt Hughes and Royce Gracie went at it. That's what got me hooked. So yeah, but you mentioned Ken Shamrock, the Lion's Den, man. Did you ever watch some of the feuds with him and Tito Ortiz or –
Some of them, yeah. Some of them you can still see on YouTube, and I'll go back and watch some of that old stuff and some of those guys' interviews, and just the way that was pure, like, dislike for each other. I mean, those were two guys who wanted to get in the octagon and just beat the brakes off each other until one of them was not standing and was not going to get up.
And, you know, Tito was able to get under Ken Shamrock's skin. But if I watch him, he's still one of the most cringeworthiest trash talkers I've ever heard, if you can compare all of them.
Oh, Tito was terrible.
And the whole thing with him and Chael, did you watch that thing with the little juice box and him doing this number? I'm just like, I'll take Diego Sanchez over Tito Ortiz any day when it comes to trash talking. Anytime.
Yeah. I had a guy at work tell me about that. And I never went back and watched it, but I think Tito was one of those guys who he could just get under anybody's skin. You know, I never was a fan of his, even towards the end of his career. I enjoyed watching him lose. There were many times that I enjoyed watching him get his nose kicked in.
Yeah, and sure enough, we got the real stuff with him and Chuck Liddell. Of course, this whole nonsense that happened with Golden Boy MMA and Oscar De La Hoya was such a joke of a fight for them two to go back and just have that moment. So, yeah, it's one of those. I can understand how Bellator started off as a place for guys that were UFC to have one last run. You know, Scott Coker's willing to do that to give them their last 15 minutes of fame. I mean, it's fair. You did bring Namesake over, and it did get some attention on it, even if it's negative attention. Sports that we really haven't discussed, like maybe about the Cowboys, or there's something about and maybe the Dallas Stars or something like that in our territory that we really haven't had a chance to share.
Looking forward to the upcoming Cowboys season.
Why is that?
Well, for one, Zeke's not going to be suspended for his altercation. That's always a good start.
I had to bait you on that one. I'm like, I had to see about Zeke. So,
that's always a good start where your star running back is not suspended for bumping a security guard at a concert. But I'm a sports fan, and you know I love my Cowboys too. So I'm excited for the upcoming Cowboys season. Training camp starts. I think training camp starts in about 2 weeks, maybe three. So they'll be headed out to Oxnard. We'll see what we got. We got some good offseason moves. They improved the offensive line. They brought in some really, I'm not going to say good. They brought in a good veteran with Randall Cobb. So that's going to be an exciting thing to watch, the chemistry with him and Dak. And I think Dak's got a lot to prove this year. He didn't get his offseason deal that he wanted. Jason Garrett's got something to prove because they didn't sign him to an extension. So this is one of those deals that, you know, this year could be a make or break for, you know, your head coach and your quarterback. And that's going to be something that the Cowboys themselves have to look at in general is, you know, is this a guy who you want to build your franchise around for the next 10 years? Or do you see something, you know, coming up in the 2020 draft where you can say, wait, this is our guy, Dak. Thanks for your time. So it's going to be it's going to be an interesting season. If I'm looking at it right now, I'll give you a bold prediction, and I think they can go 9-7, 10-6.
Okay.
I think they can win the East. Just looking at it right
now.
No,
I do too. I wasn't sure about the record, but I was like, could they at least get over that pinnacle? I would say they could jump that hurdle at this point. So I'm going to go with you on that one. As far as the East, yeah, Dallas is coming.
Yeah, and Mavericks, the offseason for them is not really looking too good. So I just had a blockbuster acquisition come across my phone a while ago. DeMarcus Cousins agreed to a 1-year deal with the Lakers. So he will now join LeBron James and Anthony Davis at the Lakers. So they're trying to build their super teams in L.A. Not a huge basketball fan, but the off-season acquisitions and trades and stuff like that are always fun to watch. And
sure.
Just to see how these guys want to build their super teams. And,
And the last time we had a super team that went up against Dallas that was expected to fall was 2011. All I'm saying is we follow superstars, but there's a point to where you go, are you going to pay attention to the team? You know, I wonder if that's part of it because we've done it before. We could do it again. I don't think this is definitely not our year to do it. I just mean it's one of those, stop focusing so much on the superstar buildup. I understand that this is a cash grab for y'all in the NBA as well. But again, take a look at who took the title this year. I'm sitting there going, where did the Toronto Raptors come from? And it's been great to see. I'm like, I love a little changeup that's happening there. All of a sudden, next 1 year from now, we could be saying, where did the Milwaukee Bucks or the Pelicans come from? That's exciting for me to go. It's like you build all the superstardom up, and then who takes the title?
Right. And everybody likes to see not necessarily the underdog, but everybody likes to see the team that didn't go out and pay mega millions to build these guys up, and they just, you know, they got these B-plus players,
to be brushed
that's
off.
That always makes it fun to watch to see, especially like you said with Toronto. I mean, those they have a bunch of guys on there who were, you know, bench guys. You know, that's all they were. They rode the bench, and then all of a sudden they're winning NBA championships.
Yeah, I love it. Exactly. Or somebody else who was so close to the end, maybe my boys and the 76ers might have something that they want to prove this upcoming year too. It's like, don't count us out. So it's always fun to predict and have your assumptions in between. I just want to make sure that some of your other sports weren't left out. Because, you know, I get so excited about MMA because, you know, I can finally talk with somebody. I mean, me and Brother Sin have had good discussions, but sometimes it's hard to find people in my local area that want to talk MMA because they just go, I know who Conor McGregor is. I know. Oh, brother. So, yeah. Did you ever by chance ever try any of that proper 12?
Yeah. Yeah. It's not. I mean, it's not bad. It's to me, it's comparable. It's comparable to Jameson. I mean, you're basically just slapping one label on a green bottle and taking another one and saying, we'll put this label on this bottle too. So why not?
There you go, Notorious. We just hurt some of your market sales. We were coming in with a little bit of heat for you there. So that's great. So Big Russ, man, I cannot thank you enough for taking the time to come on here. If there's anything that I've left out, or if something that's on your heart, feel free to let me know. But whenever I have guys on, there's always this one thing that's on my heart. When I have guests, sometimes I always have a closure where I say, is there anything that you want the fans to know about? Do you have some kind of either a philosophy of a life? Do you have something in a faith walk? Do you just have a piece of advice for anybody who's listened? Like I said, 25 to 35-year-old males tend to come in and listen to my show. If they heard nothing else from you today, what would you want the listeners to take away from Big Russ in this podcast?
Man, I would say not necessarily it's kind of a motto, a philosophy, however you want to say it, but you know, just live each day to the fullest. I know it's kind of cliche, but take advantage of the times that you have with your loved ones, your grandparents, your aunts, your uncles. Just take advantage of all that. I don't think I've took advantage of some of the times that I had, and some of the best times that I did have, though, were with my grandfather and with my dad. And those are things that you can't take away from. And, you know, learn everything you can. I will tell you this, and this is something that I will always live by. You will never stop learning. Until the day that you are put into the dirt, you will never stop learning. You will learn something new every single day, whether it's from a 5-year-old kid or a 75-year-old person. You're going to learn something new every day.
Love it, guys. There's nothing cliche about that. That's ripping it. And honestly, those that don't know, I have to throw this in too. I have known Big Russ since the days of pre-K. We knew each other back in Lake Ridge. There was even a time, this is going to show how far back my memory goes, there was a time that Big Russ wanted to come out and dish out some justice because another young kid decided it'd be a great idea for him to reach up and bite your favorite blockhead right below the eye. So he sees this from the swing and wants to take two steps off and wants to go fisticuffs with this kid. But the teacher's already intervened, and there's not really else anything you can do at that point. All you could do is squash it and go back to your normal day. So we've been friends since that time period. We've had our times as classmates. Sometimes we were ships in the night. But absolutely what he said, take that to heart, guys. There's not a day that goes by that your favorite blockhead wouldn't love to pick up the phone and talk to his grandpa one more time or talk to his grandma one more time just to hear their voice once again. That's very true. Right now, my dad has hit the age 65. He's living it up. So anytime I can have father-son conversations, I don't take those for granted. So definitely going to use your advice, my friend. Anything else you want to share before we start wrapping this up, Big Russ?
Man, everybody just make sure you put your money down on Holly Holm tonight. I'm telling you.
There you go.
Call your bookies.
We are predicting a shocking of the world here, man. That's what I see as well. And you know, has this been coming from me? Has this been a good experience for you for a podcast? Has this been super cathartic, or has this been kept you at ease? How you feeling about this?
Oh man, it's been a blast. I'll do it anytime you want me back on. You let me know, and I'll jump right back on with you.
Oh man, that's awesome. Now, granted, we'll see how the quality comes out, nonetheless. But it's been a pleasure to have you. The last thing that I want to share on this podcast before we wrap up, guys, you know I'm going to talk about my friends over at Century Martial Arts. If you are just looking to get the best gear in MMA that you can find, whether you're a black belt instructor or a fitness enthusiast, or if you just want to glove up, go check out the link that I'm going to have for this podcast for Century Martial Arts and check out everything that you got. If you show up to the checkout with some Muay Thai pads, you get yourself the Century Wavemaster or the Torrent, you get yourself some gloves and you're ready to glove up. Make sure when you get to checkout, make sure you include the promo code SAVE10. So when you buy your stuff from Century Arts and you get to checkout, include that to get 10% off. There'll be an apply code. Make sure you in all capital SAVE10. Save 10. Apply that, and Blockhead just saved you 10% off of your purchase from the best MMA gear on the market from Century Martial Arts. And Russ, I thank you for today, and I bid you adieu, my friend.
Thank you, man. Enjoyed it.
Oh, it was a blast. It feels so good to reconnect. You and I, and it feels so good. And guys, you enjoy the rest of your day, and we will see you the next time around. Next block, same Blockhead time, same Blockhead channel. Check out episode 100 that is on the horizon. We will see y'all later. Peace.